and welcome to the first episode of 2017 of the Brick House Podcast. Hey, Matt, I'm Bob.
Hey, Bob, I'm Matt. We took a little bit of time off, and by golly, Bob, I almost forgot what a podcast was.
Not me. I spent 26 hours in the car listening to podcasts for my Christmas vacation.
And your lovely wife loved it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. She loved hearing all the almighty baller podcasts they have to offer.
She has fevered dreams of Chris Axman.
The first episode of 2017 is brought to you by Draft, the daily fantasy app.
Oh, wow.
In a little bit, we're going to tell our listeners about a special offer they have. Yeah, so family road trip to Albuquerque. Took our two dogs, 13 hours each way, about 800 miles. Lots of podcasts. The Zardcast, new podcast on the A-Team podcast channel.
Yeah.
They had guest Albert Bernecco on. He's one of the writers for Deadspin, one of my favorite writers on Deadspin.
Uh-huh.
That's a cool one to check out. The New York Knicks podcast is great. And, of course, Chris Axman has been breaking down games on Unguarded Shooting and talking with a bunch of really good journalists on the Almighty Ballin' Pod. And he's done like six or seven podcasts since Christmas.
Right. This is the first day of 2017. So he's done a podcast a day, basically.
That guy doesn't sleep. Oh, Matt, there's this other podcast that we listen to that's the number one podcast on iTunes right now.
Yeah.
It's called Crime Town.
Whoa.
You got to get into this.
Yeah, what is this?
It's
the new rage, the new thing.
I like
the new Serial.
I think it's Serial meets Goodfellas.
Oh wow!
It's brought to you by the guys who did the Jinx.
Yeah,
the HBO show documentary about the killer, but it investigates this season the town of Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh man, mob town.
Yeah, it's the history of the crime there, and this particular guy who becomes mayor. He's elected mayor three times, even though he has known connections to the mob.
What was his name?
Buddy Cianci.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Heard of
this
guy? Oh man, it's so good. Everybody in the cast sounds like they're straight out of Goodfellas. This one guy sounds exactly like De Niro. That's awesome. So I think all of our Brick House listeners should get caught up on Crime Town, and then we'll do some sort of Brick House Crime Town episode. So. Once all you listeners have listened to Crime Town, just tweet us and give us the green light on that.
Am I allowed to? I know a big Brick House thing is you listen and watch a bunch of stuff that I haven't, and I have to act like I have.
And so. I just spoil it all for
you.
Yeah. Did you catch any NBA basketball on Christmas, Matt?
I caught a bit. I was going to watch the Warriors-Cavs, but then as I texted you, I got executive decisioned by my mom to watch the one movie with Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. We only watched a little bit of that, then had to hightail it to some relatives. But I caught some of the games, yeah, some bits and pieces.
The media is really hilarious with their hot take culture, saying that after the Cavs won the game versus the Warriors by 1 point, that the Warriors can't beat the Cavs.
Can't beat them.
It's pretty much done. Give the Cavs the trophy right now. I liked how Tyronn Lue said that the Cavs-Warriors could be the next Celtics-Lakers. I figure why stop there? I think it could be the next Star Wars. Or at least like a Matrix or Hunger Games, you know. So now that Christmas has passed, it's time to get out your votes for the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And the teams, NBA teams, have been working hard to get their players into the game. I like the Rockets. They did a campaign dressing James Harden as Gandalf. I think it's probably just like the beard.
Sure. Did they dye it white?
Yeah. I mean, I assume it's Photoshop, but he's got the long white hair, white beard, holding the staff. It's so funny, you just want to retweet it, which counts as a vote for James Harden. I think if we did voting of everything on social media, we would have closer to 90+ voter participation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Joel Embiid wants you to vote for him.
Why, Bob?
So he can date this girl, he said in a post-game interview after a win.
Like, no one knows who the girl is.
Yeah, you wouldn't say so.
Yeah.
But she'll only date him if he's an all-star, apparently.
I don't
know. He's trying to impress her. She probably doesn't like basketball. I saw a picture of Joel Embiid on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
One thing, he was standing next to Ben Simmons, who is supposedly 6'10". If that's true, Joel Embiid is 9'12". He was also wearing a I Feel Like JoJo t-shirt.
I Feel Like JoJo.
Yeah, Joel Embiid.
JoJo of Casey and JoJo?
JoJo, JoJo of the his other nickname, other self-given nickname besides The Process.
Oh, he gave himself that.
This is Joel Embiid brand t-shirt.
I'm looking at, whoa. Embiid's got to be standing on something.
Right.
Ben Simmons has to be.
Stauskas is
closer in height to Simmons than Simmons is to Embiid.
Yeah. Embiid is closer in height to Brontosaurus than Stauskas.
Yeah.
I really like how Embiid is making his personal brand a commodity. He's like NBA Kim Kardashian in that regard.
Well, he missed out on 2 years with an injury, so he has to make up for all that time by just throwing it all against the wall.
He's got a contract year coming up next year.
No, that's great.
So the Sacramento Kings are getting tricky in this all-star voting game. So they started retweeting. The other day they said, retweet if you think the Western Conference starters should be Stephen Curry, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant, or DeMarcus Cousins.
Ooh.
Hashtag NBA vote. They purposely spelled everyone's name wrong except for Cousins.
Yeah.
They're just trying to piggyback off those other names, I suppose.
Did they throw any of those fifth grade girls that Ron Adeve used to coach onto the All-Star ballot just to...
Vote for Anjali.
Yeah. The Kings Twitter tweeted out, take a look at the top 10 plays of 2016. Top 10 Kings plays. I haven't watched it yet, but we'll have to watch that at some point. That might be enough comedy to do an entire podcast on, Bob.
Yeah, I wonder if one of those top plays is firing George Karl.
Yeah.
Probably so after this book release.
More to come on that in the following weeks.
Oh, another tricky thing that the Kings did on their social media. It was before a game versus Memphis. They said, hey, watch two great centers go head-to-head and retweet for DeMarcus Cousins and Mark Gasol. Only they spelled Gasol's name with instead of an L in the end for Gasol, a capital I, which in the font they were using looks very similar to an L.
Ugh.
But you would be voting for Mark Gasol.
Oh, man. If only they put this much effort into their basketball team.
I know. I was thinking this has Vivek's fingerprints all over it. I'm glad he's found a way to contribute to his franchise.
It's really hard to find great players, but you know what is a lot easier? Jokes on Twitter, Bob.
Tricking illiterate Americans into voting for DeMarcus Cousins.
They're hashtagging Corgi Takeover. Did you see that?
What?
It's a dog. A corgi.
I know what a corgi is.
Yeah, it's just a dog watching the game. Or at one point, they say DeMarcus Cousins instead of DeMarcus.
They must be having a hard time selling tickets to that new arena. There should be some first-time All-Stars this year, Matt. You got any predictions on who might make their first ever All-Star
game?
Their
first ever. This is slightly tough for me because there are some players that I think have made All-Star team that haven't. Has Isaiah Thomas made an All-Star team?
He did last year.
He made it last year.
Time. Yeah.
Who would be a guy that would make it this year, Bob?
There's a few candidates. I think it's a lot easier to break in to your first-time All-Star game in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
One guy who's probably the most obvious candidate.
Bradley Beal?
I was going to say Greek Freak.
Oh, yeah.
Giannis.
Yeah.
He has not made an All-Star game, but he's playing amazing this year. Another one who'll probably make his first ever All-Star game, Kemba Walker.
Right. He's been playing great.
They've had a creative way of trying to get people to vote for Kemba Walker's All-Star candidacy by making these YouTube videos of Walker Charlotte Ranger.
Yeah.
A play on Chuck Norris with Frank Kaminsky as his... 10-gallon hat wearing sidekick. I would suggest everyone just pause the podcast right now and go and check out these like 2 1-minute long episodes on YouTube. Oh, plus the theme song is sung by Spencer Hawes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
while he's doing Jeremy Lin's hair.
Yeah. Some people that could make it in the Western Conference for the first time, Carl Anthony Towns.
Sure.
I think it would have been easier to vote for him if the Wolves weren't 5-50. Gordon Hayward was injured for a handful of games, but he is playing very well on the Jazz. And DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan, yeah.
First team All NBA center last year, but he's never been an All Star.
Yeah, that's one of those. That's one of those ones that you would have thought would have happened by now. Does 7'3" Latvia make it?
Porzingis.
The Zinger?
Yeah. I would love to see him in there, but I'm not sure. I'd actually have to go and actually fill out my ballot to see if he could make it.
I filled out one before we went on air, Bob. And I'll have you know I actually did vote for Kemba and Greek Freak.
What about Porzingod?
No, I don't think I voted for Sabonis and Kyle Wiltshire and Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis, Dragon Bender, Paul George, and Malcolm Brogdon.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just, I kind of just clicked on a team and then picked a guy or two.
Oh, I saw this week that Malcolm Brogdon side by side with Oscar from The American Office.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that tweet where someone said, like, I can't unsee this or something.
They do look very similar.
Yeah.
The rapper Ice Cube has gotten us a Christmas present this year.
Another one?
It's a Christmas present for all basketball fans, but I assume especially for those who live in Los Angeles. He's starting a 3-on-3 summer league for retired NBA players.
Man, if you like old men injuries, Bob, you'll love this 3-on-3 league.
Yeah, the league is going to be called Big 3. They'll play after the NBA Finals. There'll be 8 teams, each with 5 players. It'll be 3-on-3 using just the half court. The old men aren't going up and down the court, Matt.
I think they should go head-to-head with the NBA Finals.
Head-to-head?
Yeah. That's how you really make your mark.
It's going to be some opportunities for some former pros to mess around and get a triple-double, perhaps.
No. Man, 2017 is already off to a great start.
The commissioner of the league is going to be former NBA Players Association Executive Director Roger Mason. He's going to be the commissioner of Ice Cube's.
Like the former player Roger Mason?
Yeah, I know him mostly from the Spurs.
Yeah.
Some big names have already agreed to play in Cube's league, Matt. NBA All-Star 2006 champion Gary Payton might be the most popular one.
Yeah.
Jermaine O'Neal is also going to be playing. Rashard Lewis. And also Steven Jackson. Steven and Jackson and Gary Payton are going to put butts in the seats.
I'm very excited. Roger Mason was resigned from the Players Association post to join this league.
It probably pays more. It actually pays.
You know who's going to be a candidate for this league in 4 or 5 years when he retires? Jamal Crawford.
Oh, absolutely.
Assuming this league, this league will be around in 4 or 5 years.
I think the basketball tournament showed that it's very possible to make summer basketball that people want to see.
White Chocolate has committed to playing this league too.
It's the other Jason Williams, Matt.
Whoa, the Duke one.
No.
The shotgun one.
Shotgun Jason Williams. Former teammate
of
Kenyon Martin, yeah.
I just clicked on it on YouTube on Yahoo, and it took me to some Jason Williams I've never heard of before.
Is there more than 3 Jason Williams?
Oh, man.
Can't be.
I can't. I'm having trouble keeping track of the 3.
So, Matt, if you saw the Christmas Day game between Golden State and Cleveland, maybe you saw the highlight, but the last play of the game, the Warriors actually had the ball. It went to Kevin Durant, and he was knocked over by Richard Jefferson
and
lost the ball. Afterwards, the NBA, doing their 2-minute review of the ref's calls, said, you know, in actuality, they should have called a foul on Richard Jefferson. That would have been a foul. And, of course, they asked Kevin Durant, what do you think about this? And he said it was completely bogus. He thinks it's stupid that the league does these two-minute reports and throws the refs under the bus. They're out there just doing their best to get the calls right, Matt.
Oof, yeah.
You know the funniest thing about this?
What?
The next game the Warriors played after Kevin Durant had stuck up for all the referees, zero fouls called on Kevin Durant.
No,
zero.
You don't say. In the whole game.
Yeah.
Thanks, pal. Nice pat on the butt for you.
Some teams have asked that the NBA just get rid of this two-minute report. They agree with Kevin Durant. They were glad with what he said. But other teams, it's been reported, are now asking that the league do a 48-minute report or the entire game, saying which calls are right and which ones are wrong. I think that that is one way to maybe get rid of the reviewing calls altogether.
Yeah.
By suggesting the league commits that amount of time to scrutinizing every meaningless call in the first couple minutes of the first quarter.
That's kind of the fear of... That's why some people were against replay to begin with, is because they thought at some point it was just going to take over the entire game.
Right. Yeah, one of the options that is popular is for letting coaches challenge calls, like in the NFL.
Right.
Same thing, that if you're wrong about it, you'd burn a timeout. But I think the league is afraid of doing that because, while the one hand they want to promote transparency, at the other time, one of their main objectives publicly is they're trying to shorten the length of games.
Right, yeah.
And if you give Doc Rivers a challenge flag, that's going to be a five-hour game.
That thing's coming out, and it's coming out often.
Matt, let's take a moment to tell our listeners about this great offer from Draft. Do you play Daily Fantasy, Matt?
I do.
If so, you should be playing on Draft. Get this, your chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. The data shows almost 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money just goes to 1% of the players. If you're not a pro and not spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing on Draft. You'll win more often. It's statistically proven. On Draft, you do a simple snake draft, just like the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just one day, and they take only minutes to complete. I have Draft on my phone and just did a 10-person draft and got James Harden with the third pick.
Oh,
Matt.
Wow.
I'm about to do another one.
What a steal.
Join me. Download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it will come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code ABPN when you download Almighty Baller Podcast Network.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter promo code ABPN. Let's go back to the show. Matt, can we let Dan D'Antoni finish his sentence, please?
That was great. I passed that one around to a few people.
Dan D'Antoni was doing an interview the other day. The guy asked him, "You guys take a lot of threes. Did you feel like there's maybe wasn't quite enough working the ball into the paint early on?" To which Dan D'Antoni replied, "You're old school, aren't you? Do you watch the NBA ever?" The guy said, "Yeah." Dan said, "You see those top three teams, Golden State, do they work it in? My brother in Houston, the biggest turnaround in the league, do they work it in? You can go get any computer and run what the best shots are, and it will tell you that post-up is the worst shot in basketball. If you want to run down and try and get in there to shoot over somebody, then you're beating analytics. The best shot in basketball is the corner three. The next best shot in basketball is any other three. Other than free throws, which we try to do, when you get to the foul line, you score 1.5 points every time you go to the foul line in the pros. It just trickles down. It's the same thing for college kids." Then the guy asked him, "Danny, were you sort of able to lull them in?" "I haven't finished my damn analytics story yet," Dan continued. Then he just goes on to list his knowledge, which seems to be extensive, about how many points on average you get for each different kind
it
of
was,
basketball
it
shot.
It was very impressive. I say you only shoot corner threes from here on out. I feel like part of him, with good reason, will want any excuse, like will take any opportunity to justify what the D'Antoni's style in the NBA was, you know? So if you give him an inch, he's going to take the whole thing.
They're sticking to that D'Antoni brand for sure.
Yeah.
There was another coach who made the news this holiday season there, Matt. One George Carl, who's got a book that isn't even out yet. Yet it's all that people can seem to talk about. Of course, by now, people have probably heard that he criticized Kenyon Martin and Carmelo Anthony for not having fathers in their lives. Yeah. And probably being the reason why they were such royal pains in the butt.
Yeah. One thing I've found, if someone doesn't have a father in their life, it's usually always their fault, Bob, right?
It's definitely something yeah. to poke and jab them about, yeah. especially Carmelo's father, yeah. who didn't leave his family but died when Carmelo was 2 years old of cancer.
How did two-year-old Carmelo do that to his father?
He's just a bad guy, I yeah. guess. Here's one of the quotes from the book. Carmelo was a true conundrum for me in the 6 years I had him. He was the best offensive player I ever coached. He was also a user of people, addicted to the spotlight, and very unhappy when he had to share it. He really lit my fuse with his low demand of himself on defense. He had no commitment to the hard, dirty work of stopping the other guy. My ideal, probably every coach's ideal, is when your best player is also your leader. But since Carmelo only played hard on one side of the ball, he made it plain he couldn't lead the Nuggets, even though he said he wanted to. Coaching him meant working around his defense and compensating for his attitude.
Bob, if I may, you said George Carl said he was addicted to the spotlight and didn't want anyone else to get in his way, right?
Yes.
George Carl said this in a tell-all book where he's throwing other people under the bus.
I see what you're
okay,
getting
at. Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, the fabled quote I was telling you about was, quote, Kenyon and Carmelo carried two big burdens, all that money and no father to show them how to act like a man. J.R. Smith did have a father in his life.
Yeah.
But he likened him and Kenyon and Carmelo to AAU babies, comparing them to spoiled brats you see in junior golf or junior tennis. Yeah, Carl coached Anthony from January 2005 to February 2011 when Anthony's demand for a trade landed him in New York. Carl described the trade as, quote, a sweet release for the coach and the Nuggets like popping a blister.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I was really pained to hear that this book is devoid of criticism of the Sacramento Kings, Matt. Apparently, he did not authorize the chapters he wrote about Sacramento, which he still wrote for some cathartic purpose, I'm sure.
Sure. I'm going to write these, but don't put them out.
As part of his agreement to part ways with the Kings, he promised not to disparage them. It's probably because they're still paying him, along with a handful of other men, to be the coach of the Sacramento Kings.
Is that something to where if he said too much or got a little flippant, they could find a way to get out of them?
Yeah, void his contract.
Sure.
And when he left Sacramento, he still had $6.5 million in guaranteed salary remaining on the 4-year deal.
I thought you were going to say 6.5 years, which wouldn't have shocked me.
Yeah, him and Vlade Divac both said nice things about each other upon parting. But yeah, it's obvious it's because he's still getting paid. And those book sales are probably not going to be more than $6.5 million. He better hope they're a lot, because he's probably never going to work in the NBA again.
Yeah.
Actually, probably is not accurate. Definitely. He's not getting paid by the Nuggets still, though. And he had some words for them. He hasn't gotten over being fired the same year he won Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive.
Right.
He recalls telling Nuggets president Josh Kroenke, this is very stupid, after being fired. He said Kroenke had a complete lack of respect for the job we'd done. I understood the rarity of the good thing we built, but Josh didn't. One more controversial thing from the book was that Carl says he suspects players in the NBA are using performance-enhancing drugs
now.
Oh,
wow.
He didn't really give any examples of it, but this is what he said in the book.
He just feels it in his bones.
He said, we've got a much more thorough drug testing program than NFL or MLB, which we always brag about. But we still got a drug issue, though a different one than 30 years ago. And this one bothers me more than some dumb who got in trouble with recreational drugs. I'm talking about performance-enhancing drugs like steroids, human growth hormone, and so on. It's obvious some of our players are doping. How are some guys getting older yet thinner and fitter? How are they recovering from injuries so fast? Why the hell are they going to Germany in the off season? I doubt it's for the sauerkraut.
Oh.
More likely, it's for the newest hard-to-detect blood boosters and PEDs they have in Europe. Unfortunately, drug testing always seems to be a couple steps behind drug hiding. Lance Armstrong never failed a drug test. I think we want the best athletes to succeed, not the biggest, richest cheaters employing the best scientists. But I don't know what to do about it.
My first thought is that they should name some illegal German steroid sauerkraut just to mess with him. He says he doesn't know what to do about it. Maybe this is how he's going to spend his days, thinking of how to stop this rampant PED problem.
I thought it was just he looked at Jose Canseco's book sales, and he is just like, yeah, add some steroids in there. Make some unsubstantiated claims. Look at Richard Jefferson. He's old. Yeah. He's old.
He's old.
He's making baskets still.
Yeah. He just starts throwing in Rafael Palmeiro's name and Mark McGuire's name into his book.
As he was doing this press tour, he started just making all sorts of crazy assumptions. He started talking about Damian Lillard in a radio interview.
Whose coach is like a George Karl protege.
Right.
Stotts.
Yeah, Terry Stotts was his assistant for 10-plus years, including in the Continental Basketball Association.
Yeah.
But Karl was quoted as saying, "So I was watching the Portland Trailblazers play, and I was trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with this team. My conclusion is that Damian Lillard is getting too much attention."
Yeah.
Again, with that spotlight. He doesn't like sharing
it. He doesn't like it.
Terry Stotts came to Lillard's defense and slammed Karl pretty hard. He said of Karl, "He's a successful coach. That being said, if he wants to diminish his chances for the Hall of Fame, if he wants to undermine his chances of being a head coach again in this league, if he wants to settle old scores with GMs or players or whoever else, that's his prerogative." Lillard just tweeted out a quote from a 50 Cent lyric upon hearing Karl's quotes. "Damn, homie, in high school, you was the man, homie."
Man, that SoundCloud rapper, he knows how to do it.
That didn't even make our diss of the week, but it was up there. Matt, you know, now that we're doing our first ever podcast of 2017, I figured it would be apropos to take a look back at our most brick house moments of 2016.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I asked you to compile some of these. I also did as well. I didn't really give you any definition of what most brickhouse moment was.
No, the way I took it to mean, let's see if you gave me a definition here. No, you didn't. I took it as like a thing that when I think of brickhouse, these are moments that I think of.
Okay.
Not on the podcast, but in the NBA, right? Not our own podcast moments.
Uh-huh.
League moments.
League moments.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll do a countdown of our top 10 here.
Okay, my number 5 was the Steph Curry, that almost half-court pull-up shot against the Thunder February.
That was awesome.
Because that was just one of those moments watching live where it was just like, what just happened type thing.
I've still got that game saved on my DVR.
Yeah,
actually.
Watching it, I was watching it with my brothers, and we were all just stunned. That's the least goofy one of moment of the NBA.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
my number 9 then is also Steph Curry related, but it's LeBron James' petty Halloween party. I thought that was a great moment of 2016.
The Undertaker shirt or something?
Oh, well, yeah. It was... After the finals, he wore the Ultimate Warrior
t-shirt. Right.
But for his Halloween party, he had the Steph Curry and Klay Thompson tombstone.
Oh, tombstones.
Cookies.
Yeah.
They had a band that was called the 3-1 Lead.
Yeah.
And I just learned a new detail this week that at the party, there was a mannequin wearing a Steph Curry jersey that was just lying on the ground just inside the door. So every guest had no choice but to step over Steph Curry upon entering the Christmas party or Halloween party. I really think it should have been Draymond they were stepping over. But, you know, LeBron and Draymond are business partners.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Matt, what's our next most brick house moment of 2016?
It would be the Draymond Green nut kicks, Bob. All the kicks to the balls.
There were so many.
Yeah. I could go on, but we only have a limited... I could, you know, expand in detail. We only have a limited amount of time.
Yeah, my number seven then. Is it number seven? Number seven was the Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher getting into a fist fight over Matt Barnes' ex-wife.
Right.
Who was on the show Basketball Wives. And who I learned while researching it is her sister is Gilbert Arenas' ex-wife. Who was also on the show Basketball Wives.
Wow. It's pretty intense.
Yeah. What's your next one there?
So number six, the Sacramento Kings draft when they drafted players in reverse order based on talent.
That was actually my next one too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They had the eighth pick of the draft.
Yeah.
And traded it to the Suns for 13 and 28.
But then they also had traded Bellinelli to the Hornets and got the Hornets 22nd pick or 19th, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So then they took the European player with the first pick and then took the high upside LeBissier with the last pick.
Both of whom play the same exact position as the star player DeMarcus Cousins.
And I was looking at it. I forget what order this is, but the three first-round picks have played 5, 4, and 2 games this year for the Kings.
My favorite part of that whole debacle was Cousins tweeting, "Lord, give me strength."
Yes, that was good. That was very good. So this just turned into our top 9 Brickhouse moments.
Yeah, yeah. Go on to your next one there, Matt.
J.R. Smith walking around with no shirt on.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah. This became such a thing that President Obama made a reference to it.
Yeah.
And then J.R. Smith commissioned a T-shirt of his torso.
Right.
So even when he's wearing a shirt, he'll still be shirtless.
Awesome. So let's see. The number three thing then. Russell Westbrook sneak dissing Kevin Durant on the 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
By Instagramming a platter of cupcakes. Yeah. The story was that their former teammate Kendrick Perkins used to call players cupcake when they were being soft right after Durant announced via the Players Tribune that he was going to the Warriors. Westbrook didn't comment at all, only Instagrammed a picture of 4th of July decorated cupcakes with the message, "Happy 4th, y'all."
Yeah, just being nice. Bob, there might be a chance that this top 8-9 turns into a top 8.
Oh, what do you got?
My Brickhouse moment is the Sam Hinkie letter, Bob.
Oh, man, I didn't even think of that.
Oh, it should have, I thought that would be right there, yeah.
13 pages of glory.
Yeah, the Hinkie letter, I think it was the most Brickhouse moment of last year.
Man, yeah, that is the most Brickhouse moment. My number one thing was a Draymond Green punching LeBron's taint, swinging the winners of the NBA Finals, you know? When LeBron stepped over LeBron James. You know, you can call it a gooch if you prefer.
Sure.
Draymond, of course, took a swing and was suspended for that crucial Game 5, which ended up swinging the series. Also, yeah. The Steph Curry 2s, the shoes that were made fun of, they came out right before Game 5.
Right.
And the Warriors never recovered, losing 3 straight.
No, they didn't.
George Karl's book was definitely one of the ones that was a close contender.
But that's a 2017 thing, I think.
Yeah, we'll save it for that.
Yeah. We'll have plenty to talk about on that.
Well, let's get into the first diss of the week of 2017 then, shall we?
Yo mama is so fat.
After the Rockets beat the Knicks on New Year's Eve, Matt, James Harden had his monster night of 53 points, 17 assists, 16 rebounds.
I think is he the first ever player to go 50, 15, and 15? I think I saw.
I think, yeah, that's the first time. He tied Wilt Chamberlain for most points scored in a triple-double. And he did it against Mike D'Antoni's former team, the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
After the game, Mike D'Antoni was asked if he noticed if the Knicks are running less triangle than before. His answer, "If the triangle hit me upside the head, I wouldn't know what it was." I think that might be the only time Mikey D's got the better of Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
In his career.
Yeah.
Oh, also, this week I found a disc from the past.
Oh, wow. Do we have a special, like...
We should have a good sound cue for that. This one comes from Marv Albert, talking about the Atlanta Hawks. Yeah. I don't know when he said this, but it was so good I wanted to include it. Quote, the Hawks, this is, they have a great bunch of outside shooters. It's just too bad they play all of their games indoors.
Oh, man.
That's probably what Josh Smith was on the team, I'm going to guess.
That's such a Marv Albert-y thing to say. You sent me a link, a Tim Duncan link, a picture of Tim Duncan. And what did you want to describe that to the...
Well, it was a post on Reddit that said, you know, photo of Timmy wearing a Timmy shirt caught in like the parking lot of a Walmart.
You're playing
something.
Like air drums or something like that. It looked like he was.
And he's just wearing this red shirt that has a cartoon drawing of a football on it with just the word soccer.
Yeah.
What was the one about math that he wore earlier in the year?
I don't know. I can't. He needs to. This needs to be his thing.
Just a new clothing line?
Yeah, let's see. It says, I got it right here. 4 out of 3 people struggle with math.
Just buys t-shirts with dad jokes. Do you think he's like, just finds these things at Target, or he's looking online for the dorkiest shirts?
He has a lot of time these days, so.
That's true.
He might just be looking for the dorkiest things he can.
I bet he goes to Goodwill for some of these shirts.
Yeah. Goodwill, big and tall.
Big and tall, yeah. Goodwill, yeah.
On the next episode of Brick House.
I hope we're talking about the Clippers rebounding from this current 6-game losing streak.
Oh, yeah, this is tough stuff.
They're now in 7th place in the West. And the other day, too, I don't know if you saw, but Austin Rivers got thrown out of the game and then was promptly followed by Doc Rivers getting thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
If the Clippers don't turn this around, we may see the first ever game where Austin, Doc's wife, Austin's sister.
Yeah.
This, the entire Rivers family is thrown out of the Staples Center. Let's get it together, Clippers. So we'll tell you how that goes next week on the second episode of 2017 on the next episode of Brick House.